you know, like what they call it, like you have senators. Christians are supposed to be literal senators. They are supposed to decree laws on the earth. Are you getting my point? Now listen to this. When we sit down and say, how can a Nigerian senator earn more than the American president? Because it's true. I don't understand how your senators get up on the pulpit and be using my word to raise money. I said, no, I'm talking about... Those ones are inferior senators to the ones I'm talking about. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? So I thought to myself, you had better redirect this prayer. You had better redirect the prayer. Redirect the prayer to the place where judgment begins from. Redirect the prayer to the place where people who are supposed, we're back to it, to establish the will of God on the earth are not even working in it. I was saying that, look, Christians became very lazy. God has an order for everything. We are not careful. You know, my wife was talking to somebody to me the other day. I don't know, give details, but the point was that she was a bit unhappy that, why do people always fall for this kind of thing? I said, why shouldn't they? Life is by default haphazard. Did you do chemistry? Random, you know, like what they call it, entropy. Yes. Everything is out of order until a word is spoken to put it in order. What I'm saying is this. You will walk in ignorance naturally, by default. Except you consciously bring your head down to the place of understanding. I don't know what I said. Every way by which you are walking that you have not consciously put the word of God into is called disorder. So if you see a Christian that's just like a basically about life generally, he doesn't know the word of God. He's a subject of deception. If he says, I cannot be deceived, he may just be a man who's hard-hearted. I don't know whether I get my point. Because I can be here trying to raise money hard, lying, telling all kinds of lies. And there are two groups of people that will not be moved. One, the first group are those who are very wicked. It's nothing you want to say, they won't respond. The second group are those who know that you are just trying to deceive them. They know the truth, so they are not going to answer you. Listen, a lot of people who, if you have never consciously put order into your life, all right, and these things don't move you, is most likely because you are just hard-hearted. Not because, do you understand my dad, because you understand the truth. What am I saying? The problem about the will of God, first of all, is this general laziness in Christianity. That is why the Word of Faith movement tried to remove the issue of, is it God's will? What they were trying to say is that, listen, the will of God is already revealed. That the will of God is what? Already revealed. And that if you read it, study it, pay attention to it, there are things you don't ask, is it the will of God? For example, you don't pray, God heal if it is thy will. No. Why? Because the will is already established. It is clear. It is always the will of God to heal. And if it is not manifesting, we start checking why it is not manifesting. It is never that maybe it is not his will. It is always the will of God for God to fill his children with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Jesus said it clearly. It's a good gift that any good father will give to his children. So we know the will of God. Like I taught on Saturday, we know most certainly it is the will of God for his children to prosper. So you don't say, Lord, let me prosper in life if it is thy will. No, we know that it is the will of God. We know it. We are aware of it. Why? It is revealed. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, prayer is first and foremost about the will of God. And there's one scripture. Let me quickly. I need to read this. Okay, let me read. There are two of them. Psalm 115. I want to say this. So when we are praying, thy will be done on earth, it's not a bland statement. Like Jesus said, pray in this way. At each point in time, there is a will that's supposed to be done. If you listen to Derek Prince will talk about how he prayed for the government in America. At a point in time, the prayer that God gave him was, Lord, elevate the righteous and bring down the wicked. Not if it be thy will. No, there's a scripture that that's what God wants to do. Do you understand the point? For example, there's a prayer I like to pray for the church. I say, Lord, let truth become popular in the house of God. He said, look, listen. Prayer is not the length or the number of times you repeat it. It's the persuasion you have, all right, and the passion you have about what you are praying for that makes it effective. He said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. All right? What it means, if you go and read the Amplifier, it said the effectual, heartfelt prayer. That is what he's really serious about. Not what he's just, they just say, you know, you meet a man on the road, pray for me. He said, all right, don't worry, I will pray for you. He said, Lord, see that man I met on the way, I hereby pray for him. If you hear that the man died, then it doesn't move you. Those prayers, they're not totally without effect, but their effect is very weak. There are those tiny, you know, in chemistry, those they taught us about all kinds of bonds. Do they still have them like that those days? Well, covalent bonds, electrostatic bonds, and then there are these van der Waal forces that hold some molecules weakly together. Can you remember it? I mean, that's been a while. I mean, I learned this some time ago. All right? Some of those prayers are those small, small forces. They manage, if you try. All right? But the covalent ones are the ones that if the person dies, you almost jump into the grave with him. That kind of one, you're tied. So even if God wants to take the fellow away, he has to wrestle and pull and pull and pull and pull and pull and pull and pull. And when he finally breaks, you shout also. Are you getting my point? That is why a Belgian who has lived in Belgium all his or her life cannot pray for the problem in Nigeria effectively. Because the time there was volcanic ash all over Iceland, all you knew was, can you believe this volcanic ash safe? And you continue eating like say nothing happened. The two, there was tsunami in Japan after an earthquake. And then nuclear reactor, two reactors begin meltdown inside their nuclear, that complex. He said, can you believe it? Now, wow. See as the water, no, 2 pieces of meat. See as the water, oh God. No, I don't like malt, just coke. See as the water, just the sweep human beings. And as they're saying it, to collect the food. See, honey, see, water get power. See as they move those cars like toys. You're eating like nothing is happening. So you pray about tsunami, God doesn't answer. It's not his fault. You are not really serious about the tsunami. Do you get my point? But when you hear that they found a bomb somewhere in one church in Enugu, Enugu here. Your wife said, your food is ready. Say, wait. Come. Not here. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind, we lose. Because you see, they are praying now. The bomb never exploded. They just found it. Sometimes, some prayers you've been praying that God should move you to a place. God said, no, stay here. Stay here. You are my prayer warrior. If you move away, it won't touch you. Stay here. Some of the problems that touch you in life, it is not because God can't shield you away from them. It is because except you are touched with the feeling of the infirmities, you cannot be an effective high priest. So God says, stay there, stay there. They don't pay. They never pay. They won't pay you too. With all your faith, they won't pay you. Say, but I believe that the money will come. Because me too, I believe that the money will come. It's two of us, all right? But right now, it will wait more. Why? So that you can be touched with the feeling of the infirmities of those who don't have the kind of faith that you have. Is the reason why Joshua couldn't enter the promised land ahead of the rest of Israel. If he was there, he would have said, he would just be there eating. His wives would be rubbing his back. Say, have you fought I? Okay, when you come this way, come the other side, you will see the I people there. Fight them over there.
He's in the promised land. He has inherited. He said, Caleb, our brethren are fighting. Now, wow. I heard the battle yesterday was tough. Because the two of them entered the promised land because they believed. That they believed or not, what did God do? He sent two of them back into the wilderness to go and join those who did not believe. You go and join the brethren that did not believe. I know you believed, but you go and join them. He said, Caleb, don't worry. I will put you in what they call science fiction. In science fiction, they call it stasis. We'll freeze your strength at this level. By the time you enter the promised land, you will still be feeling like this. So please endure. Because I created you, Joshua, to help the people inherit the land. That's why if they quench light, they will quench your light too. Because they don't quench your light at all. When you pray for PHCN and Power Station in Nigeria, Lord, bless this country. What a shame, what a shame, what a shame. What a shame. What a shame. What a pity. You know? Bless the nation. Bless this country. Hallelujah. You have no problem. But when power surge fries your television, poof! Don't lie to yourself that you paid your title. So the devourer, Hey, listen, bros. It is to make you an effective high priest, having been touched with the feeling of the infirmities. So next time you go to church, he said, next prayer point, the will of God must be done in this country in the power sector. That is the one so it's vengeance. You know what they call vengeance? Prayers of vengeance. They pray, every evil force that is working against power in this country that blew my television in that name. God said, we are getting there. He's been touched with the feeling. Do you get my point? Of the infirmities. It is not God as if God couldn't have shielded it. He said, if I shield it, you won't get the point. You must be touched. That's what he was saying. So that I'm explaining what makes prayer potent. It's not the plenty words. Alright? Are you touched? Does it touch you? That's why if you are going to pray an extraordinary prayer by spiritual manifestation beyond this level, God has to literally put a burden upon you. He has to. I hear so that somebody said we're praying for people they don't know. Listen, go and check it. They will say something came upon them. They began to groan in the spirit. That's the like the Holy Spirit comes and places that burden on them. Without that feeling, if it's something that touches you naturally, you don't need that burden. The burden is there naturally. But when there's no natural connection, the Holy Spirit has to come in and put that supernatural connection for that prayer to have effect. It is the effectual, heartfelt prayer of the righteous man. It must be heartfelt. It must touch him. Are you getting my point? So we are praying, let's say, about the nation, Nigeria. There are things that you know God has said. For example, he said clearly, there's one, let me just really use this example. Open to the book of Psalms. There's one I really, Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah chapter 59. I just want to use this one as an illustration if you are praying for a country like ours. If you read from verse 9, he said, therefore, well, you can start from verse 1, but because of time, you know, he was talking about the fact that God has not saved, and it appears as if he's unable. He said, but his hand is not short, neither is ear dull. Just like I was saying yesterday, that some things just grieved me. He said, the problem is our iniquities have separated us from our God. That's verse 2. And let me say to you clearly, the church has a lot of iniquities that have separated us from the manifestation of divine power to change our situation in this country. The people that can effectively pray about Nigerian situation so that it will turn is the church. In fact, I have a feeling that we can pray peripheral prayer to keep Nigeria strong and standing, but our serious prayer should be for the Church of Christ. Really, 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 really. It's a very serious problem. You tune TV, 10 preachers come up, you don't know what 9 of them are saying. I hope I don't sound holier than thou when I say it. I told you about the man, you know, I was telling you earlier, about the man that came to my office to come and ask for money. When I grabbed the guy, all the anger I had against preachers who use the word of God to manipulate people, I think that was what I unleashed on him. He came to beg for money. I gave him the lecture of his life in 5 minutes. Are you getting my point? The thing is annoying. And listen, if it annoys me, it's not because I'm the God of heavens. It annoys me because I have discovered that it's not right. Paul said, we have renounced hidden things of dishonesty. We have renounced and rejected handling the word of God craftily, deceitfully. He said, by the manifestation of truth, we commend ourselves to the every man's conscience. It's scripture. Twisting and turning and look, calling yourself an apostle of this, apostle of that, just because you want to raise money and making promises that God did not promise is not the will of God. I don't care how much testimonies you have to back it up. It is not the way God does things. It makes our gospel look like a gospel. You know, I told you, there are messages that appeal only to suffering people. And that's not what the gospel of Christ is. It appeals both to rich and poor, old and young. Are you getting my point? God is not a way out of poverty. The gospel of Christ is a way into the will of God to reconcile men to the Father. Do you get what I'm going to explain? We have to preach a balanced doctrine. We have to. When we don't, what we are doing is that we are making it appear as if the hand of God is too short so that it cannot deliver. So God was explaining that there. He said, all the problems we see there, no one sues righteously and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confidence, verse 4, and speak lies and all of that. Now, verse 9, I'm jumping now. He said, therefore, justice is far from us and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. And describe all of those problems that men are experiencing. He said, verse 14, and justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. He said, yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a victim or a prey. Now, this is where I'm going. What is the word of God? Look at it. He said, now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. Can you see that? That is, anytime you see injustice like we often see in our country, we know it is displeasing to God. So if we pray that God establish justice in the nation, it's according to the will of God. Are you getting the point there? That's just what I want to get to. He described all the problems in the nation, like we often experience. He said, God saw it, and we know it was displeasing in his sight. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him. Let me just stop there, because what I want to emphasize is the fact that it was displeasing in the sight of God. Injustice is displeasing in the sight of God. I passed judgment on a man once. It was very interesting. I was going from Adoekiti to Ikare. My family lived in Ikare. My mom is still there. And I was walking in Adoekiti, now in Ikiti State. They were all in Ondo State then. Now, the route that the vehicles normally... So that day I was going home. I took a taxi. I entered the public transport. And the route we normally would take to get down to our end was kind of not a very busy road. So usually those who lived on the towns on the way often have problem with transportation, because from two major towns, all right, the people on the way, sometimes they have this problem. So that they were going, there were these guys who wanted to travel. So they wanted to charter a whole vehicle. So they saw our vehicle and stopped it. The man stopped for something, so they were talking to him. Now whether I could come and carry them to another part of the state, all those places are now in Ekiti State. So the man said, okay. He still had about 1 hour, all right, to go in our journey. So he'll go further for about an hour, then return in an hour to come and pick these people. And he made a statement. He told them, look, make sure you wait. I'm trusting you will wait for me. I don't want you to find another vehicle now, and then I'll come back and find that you're gone. And they swore that they were going to wait. So the rest of us in the vehicle said, wait, why are you asking them to wait? Charge them now. Collect a portion of your fees, you know, and go. If you come back and they have not, they had gone, well, you've lost nothing. That's the proper thing to do. He said, no, we shouldn't worry, we shouldn't worry. He told them, please, make sure you wait too. So we took off, and they said they were going to wait for him. Those guys, well, the way I saw it, they were going to relax and wait. So on the way, we're not explaining to him that, but look, this is not the proper way to do business. Look, you have to help the people do the proper thing. Let them just deposit the money. He said, that's not necessary. He said, if he gets to a carrier where he's going, that when he turns around, if he finds enough passengers, he will load his vehicle and just blow past them. Jesus Christ. And the Son of God saw, and it was displeasing in his sight. That period, there was a robbery in one major factory in the town we're coming from. And the thieves had killed one of the gatemen and actually beheaded him. So it was the topic of discussion in Vec when we took off from the journey. And I still remember him twisting that his wicked head like this. He had this funny shaped wicked head. That no, this is wickedness. How can a man do that to another man? God knows I can never do that kind of a thing. Yeah, those were his words. He was speaking in Yoruba, right? He said, ah, God knows I can never do it. I can never do that kind. This is wickedness. How can a man behead another? Then on the road, he beheaded all those people. So as he uttered that word, I was grieved. And the Lord saw. I was angry. So I said, Lord, please. He must not succeed in what he's doing. When we get there, delay him. That, you see, the Lord gave me that prayer. How do I know? Because the way he answered it, I could not have thought it up. I said, Lord, this is not right. Don't let this man get away with this. Delay him. And as we got down to our destination, just as we're entering the town, there were these two rogue policemen. Yes, I know, because they decided to start harassing people. Mounted an illegal checkpoint and told him to park. Wanted to see his particulars and they were incomplete. And he stood there, tried to persuade them, tried to explain, tried to give them money. No, wait there. They lined us up there. They just packed us there. We had reached where we were going. So me, I just relaxed in the vehicle. This is the day that the Lord has made. Nothing spoiled. I don't know how long they kept us there. We were there. Some of his colleagues came. I think the chairman of the association came. He said, look at what this. But remember that policeman's name? That policeman's name was Ame. Ame. That was the guy's name. They were calling Ame. Come now. Ah, like, ah, what's wrong? Like, we know this guy, you know? They are local boys. They're all there together. Ahmed, why are you doing like this now? Ahmed didn't even listen to them. He was busy, you know, causing problems all over the place. Maybe Ahmed drank that day, I don't know. But obviously he was possessed with the spirit of vengeance. And he did not know it. We were there for a very long time. Finally, we were released. And I realized that the Lord just answered my prayer. There was no way he was going to get passengers going that distance again. The only way he could get money that day was to head up and go and pick those people up. The Lord saw. You get to my point. And he was displeased. Listen. Like I told you, the will of God in the matter of prayer is to know what God has said and to ask it to be established on the earth. I said we should open somewhere. Did you open to it? Psalm 11, what? 115. Just, it's a scripture we all know very well. Verse 16. He said, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, and the earth he has given to the sons of men. This is what the will of God is in the matter of prayer. God says, the earth is your house, and I don't break rules. If you want anything established in your house, you have to let me in. And this is how we do it in the matter of prayer. When we discover what God has said, it's simple. We just repeat it to him that according to that which you have spoken, do it in this nation, do it in this home, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's all he's saying. That's what it means when he says, thy will be done. Thy will is be done is not a blank statement that doesn't have any specifics in it. No, Jesus said, pray in this way. So when you are praying, remember we're talking about the fact that God, this name is to be praised. That is the name he bears in each situation. So when there is a situation, I want to call upon him. He that comes to God must believe that he is the solution to that problem. All right? You understand what I'm saying there? Like we said in the book of Hebrews, he that comes to God must believe that he is. So he calls him by his name that describes him as a solution to that problem. Do you get the point? And then all he's praying is to establish that which God has spoken, which God has written. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've explained that before, that when he said as it is, we often read it as it is being done in heaven. That was not what he said. What the Lord Jesus said is, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven, as it is pre-planned in heaven, as is already described. Do you get the point? As it's already described in heaven. That's what he was saying. So when we discover that which he has described, we utter those words back to him in prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's it. That's what prayer is. That is what it is. Listen, sometimes our desires and the recorded plan of God, they don't flow. Prayer is powerful. It solves every problem. One of the problems is when the recorded plan of God, which you know, and your desire, they don't rhyme. You still solve it in prayer. And our good example is the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Lord Jesus went to pray. He said, this is my desire. I want to go through this cross. This is your will. We must go through this cross. He said, nevertheless, thy will. Do you get the point? Listen, I've told you before, one of the greatest things you can do for yourself in life, to be very, very honest. Look, don't make excuses. Don't pretend. Lord, you know I just believe. If you are doubting, say, Lord, I'm not going to lie to you. The kind of doubt weighed in my heart right now. If you wait, it will outweigh all the faith I've ever had. Once you say it, it's a confession. You see, you're not establishing it. You are confessing it away. You are releasing it. Are you getting my point? You are saying, Lord, like I was saying the other day, it was Saturday, say, give to all that ask of thee. When my wife and I were going, somebody still came and asked of me, and I did not give. My wife said, hey, give to all that ask of thee. I said, I'm getting there. Now, do you understand what I'm going to explain? All right? So you see, it's good to just be open, to tell the Lord the simple truth. This is the way my heart is feeling about this. Are you getting my point? Now, listen to this. When your desires and the will of God that you know don't rhyme, all right? See, one or two things will happen. In both cases, you will ask for God's mercy. You hear what I said? This is how you handle the situation. You ask for God's mercy. One or two things will happen, all right? Now, this is what I mean by ask for God's mercy. You know, God does not react violently out of anger. Even though it looks like it. And I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. It is what theologians, I first heard a word from the mouth of Reverend Chris Okotie, and I read it in my Bible, the companion Bible by E.W. Bollinger, R.W. Bollinger. They call it anthropopathism. Anthropopathism. Anytime you see it, you know what it means? It's just trying to describe God through the emotions of men. And I swore in my wrath. He says, anthropopathism. I'm not making an issue. God doesn't get so angry. He does something he will regret. Do you get my point? A human being, you can be so angry, you break the window of your own car out of anger. What is it? Now your son vexes you. Why? You don't break the thing. Eh? The car is bad. Now all of us will suffer it. You know, Iboma has a saying. You know the key person, when are you going to bury you? You don't kill your motor now. Wait, time for burial, you will see. Are you getting my point? But God doesn't do like that. So when God swears in his wrath, he has calculated it. He just made up his mind based on what he has seen. So he said to Israel, you will not enter into my rest. That was his expressed will. And Moses said, no. Do you get my point? His desire was against the expressed will of God. So he began to pray. And the Lord rearranged it to fit Moses' desires. Let me just stop it there. That's one thing that God may do. You may find out what God really wants to do. And for one reason or the other, he does not agree with you. It may be because you see, there's something about justice and righteousness. Mercy, all right? And justice. Justice and righteousness are on the same side, all right? Justice may determine that this is the right thing to do. But God, the Bible says, he's slow to anger, but abounding in loving kindness. Sometimes what he does is that he will put that spirit of compassion in the man. And the man will not ask him to do what he would like to do actually, but the principle of justice will not allow. So Moses prayed and explained to God why he didn't want it to happen. You can't destroy them now. People will say this, this will be like this, and it won't be right, and this and that, and that. And they say, far be it from the Almighty to do wickedly. And all of this, that's Abraham anyway. And then the God relented concerning what he wanted to do. But there's another time in which you pray, you know, your desires and the will of God are not in agreement. And you know what God? How God answers? God will wind you, walk on you, explain to you, pour a spirit into you, until your desire will now be in agreement with the will of God. So the Lord just went to the garden. Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, let thy will be done and not my will. Not my will, that let thy be done. And the Lord did what? Sent angels and they ministered unto him. And when he had prayed that prayer three times, he suddenly came out full of strength, able to face all the troubles that were about to come. So he tapped them, let us go. Everything is okay now. And when the men came to arrest him, he was so calm. If they had come 2 hours before that, he would not have been calm. He would have hidden behind the tree, closest to the gate of the garden, so that the people would enter, and then he would sneak out and go, yeah, I'm serious. Don't think I'm kidding. All right? You know, Yoruba man has a saying. He said that the person will, without trouble, never meet. Now I call himself, I'm a man. I understand my point. So when you see serious trouble, you will change your mind. All right? And then, look, do you follow my point? But by the time they came, he was ready. He was calm about it. Who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. He put out the hand, handcuff me. All of them fell backwards. Who are you looking for? After a while, he realized that was just to demonstrate to everybody that I am releasing myself, all right, to be arrested. He was so calm about it. They removed the ear of one man, Malchus, and he got up, joined the ear back, and told Peter, relax, this is not time for fighting. Let's go. Why? Because God had poured that spirit into him. These are the two things the Lord does when our desires seem to clash with his will. Do you get the point I'm making? Because of time, let us stop now. But I feel like I have not finished the matter of the will of God. Let me just say this before I go. You know, John, when Daniel began to pray for the deliverance of Israel, he had been in captivity for 70 years. All that while, I guess he did not have that faith to pray for the deliverance of Israel. And don't look at him as if he's a lazy man. He was not a lazy man. He just didn't have that faith. Until one day, this is a book he had for a long time. Until one day he opened the book. I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of years wherewith the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he will accomplish in the desolation of Jerusalem. That's Daniel chapter 9, all right, in verse 2. He said, namely 70 years. Then I gave my attention to the Lord to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. What was he doing? He was praying the will of God into existence. That's why we've been talking about the sayings of God on Saturdays. There are things you hear. That's what it's about. Once you hear this about the word of God, and it does not seem like that's what you're experiencing, doesn't mean that there's no problem. There's no problem. What it just means is simple. You now take that promise and establish it in your life and your environment in the process of prayer. That's what prayer is about. How many of you have ever, don't put up your hand anyway, if you ever prayed, God, give me a car, and you don't have one yet, don't bother with that prayer again. He has heard it. He has heard it. Don't worry. He has what? He has heard it. There's no material thing you have asked him for that he hasn't heard. Busy yourself with some things that are more serious. You read the scripture, your life is not conforming to it. It's a matter of prayer. It's not about more reading. It's not about more listening. This time around is what? A matter of what? prayer. This is what I have read in the Word of God as a trait that I should have, in fact, that has been formed in me in Christ Jesus. Therefore, Lord, establish it in my life in the name of Jesus Christ. It's simple. Do you get my point? That's what prayer is. It's establishing the will of God on the earth. I hope you've gotten my point. All right, let's stop that one there so we can go. Let's just give the Lord thanks. If we are blessed today, just give him thanks. Let's just give him thanks. Father, we give you praise. We thank you because of the power that's in your word. Thank you for the understanding you are giving us once again today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Cheer up, brethren.